Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Let's see if Brian in his car. Brian, hello.
Hello there, how are you?
I'm very good. Are you in the car?
I am.
Actually, there's another Cork band, Micro Ditty, that had a fantastic song called Loft Holdings Wood. And the main thing of it went, I am in the car, I am in the car. Just thought I'd tell you.
I don't remember it.
Do you not? Oh, my God. Okay. Where was I? Because, just shut up for a second while I tell people why you're here. Because I mentioned it earlier, actually, the royal family. I'm not talking about the television programme, I'm talking about the guys in Westminster. They aren't too happy with the new season of The Crown. Close friends of Prince Charles told the Daily Mail that the new series was trolling with a Hollywood budget. They said that the programme was dragging up things that happened during very difficult times 20 or 30 years ago without a thought for anybody's feelings, unquote. So Brian, that's the Brian I'm talking to now, is Mr. Redden of Darragh Films, who's an IFTA winner. He's in his car now. So I couldn't. I knew I wouldn't reach the end without doing something. Okay.
I love the way you always mention that. I'm so happy you get that. You segue that in.
God, you sound fantastic. We should get more guests in their cars. Oh, yeah. Hey, I just thought of a new one. Guests in their cars. Oh, wait a minute. No, your man does that in America.
Okay. No, Jerry Seinfeld did that. Yeah, he's way ahead of you.
Comedians who drink coffee or something. Anyway, The Crown.
Comedians in cars getting coffee.
That's it, yeah. Okay, The Crown. Tell me about The Crown, first of all. Start with that. By the way, we're talking about people who just don't like the way they were portrayed on the big screen, or the small screen in this case.
Well, in that case, they're kind of lucky, the makers of The Crown, because the royal family traditionally don't sue. I don't even know if they're allowed to sue. So you can kind of get away with murder when it comes to the royal family. You can portray them any way you want and say whatever you want with them. I mean, the Queen has been portrayed by so many different actresses in so many different movies, but they're kind of above that. So it's one of the rare cases where people are still living, where, you know, you can actually do what you like and you can get away with murder, really, you know. So they're lucky, in the makers of The Crown. Other films, like, you know, when you're doing something and the person is still alive, you have to be very careful. So a lot of movies obviously get the person on board. For example, the movie about Elton John, or indeed the film about Queen, even though Freddie Mercury obviously has passed away, the Queen movie had Queen on board, you know?
Yeah.
So a whole different Queen in that case. But they were very lucky to get them, because, you know, they wouldn't have been able to make the movie without them on board, because they would have blocked it, they would have stopped it, they would have stopped them from using their music, which has happened recently with the David Bowie biopic,
oh, yeah,
which is called Stardust. So what happened there was Bowie's son, Duncan Jones, who's a great director himself, refused to cooperate with the filmmakers. These filmmakers were making this story about Bowie's life, but only a very small section of his life, about 5 years, I think. And the family refused to cooperate, and the family said, you can't use his music. But they went ahead anyway, and they made this. It's coming out. It's out now, actually, I think. It's streaming now. It's called Stardust. It's a brief moment in the life of David Bowie, yeah, without any David Bowie music. So I don't know how you do that.
Do you remember the one that was made in Dublin about Jimi Hendrix, and one of the guys from Outkast played him? And
yeah.
They didn't use anything from the albums or something. Did they even use any Jimi Hendrix? I can't remember.
No, they had the same problem there. So that wasn't that Andre 3000 or whatever,
yeah,
he calls himself.
Yeah, that's the name from Outkast. Listen, you're very loud. Can you bring your level down a bit? Can you go into fourth gear there?
I can't try. Hang on a second.
No, it doesn't matter.
How's that?
I'll take you down here. Okay, go on. So listen, like, we know what we're talking about now. That's the David Bowie one, and The Crown too. What did you think of what's happened in The Crown? I mean, would you think a lot of those things happened or didn't happen? Even the conversations are all half made up, aren't they?
They are, yeah. I mean, they're taken dramatically. I mean, I was reading there recently about the guy who went in and broke into the Queen's bedroom, and even he came out and said that the actor who portrayed him was too ugly.
Okay, well, let's just keep moving on. What about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Well, you see, so this happens. This idea of portraying real people on screen, you've got to be very careful when you do it. And like I said, if you have the person on board or their estate on board, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Because on the one hand, it makes it easier for you to portray them. But on the other hand, then you kind of have to be, you have to toe the family line. And if you go outside of that or start using creative license, they don't like it. So in some cases, you get a sanitized version of the person. When Quentin Tarantino made Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, there's a great scene in it where Bruce Lee, played brilliantly, I thought, by a guy called Mike Moe, basically kicks the crap out of Brad Pitt. But he comes across as a very arrogant individual and a guy who's kind of a bit of a show-off.
Yeah.
So his daughter, Shannon Lee, really did not like the portrayal of her dad in that movie and greatly objected to it. But there's not much she could do about it because her dad had passed away. And the laws in the States are very different to the laws over here. So you can portray, you can say whatever you want about a dead person. They can't, you can't libel a dead person. So she greatly objected to that. And that was one recent one. Another recent one was in Clint Eastwood's movie, Richard Jewell, which again was about a real person, the guy who alerted the authorities to the bomb during the Olympics in Atlanta.
Yeah, we spoke to him here in the programme,
Well, Olivia Wilde. Yeah, Olivia Wilde played a reporter in that, a real-life reporter called Kathy Scruggs.
Yeah.
And in the film, she's portrayed as kind of trading sex with a guy for information. And all of Kathy Scruggs has now passed away, but all of her friends, you know, came out against the movie saying she never did that. That's disgraceful. It's a terrible portrayal of her. And it got to the point, actually, it was a huge backlash for that. It got to
It sank the movie.
I think so, because Olivia Wilde then came out, who played the part, and said she regretted playing the part. That wasn't what she wanted. That wasn't her intention. That wasn't what was in the script when she was reading it. And it was you know, she kind of implied that Eastwood had forced this upon her, you know, on the set. And she really regretted it. And she kind of really, really, she really hampered the success of the movie, I think. So it was a big problem for them, you know.
Yeah.
Another one that came out recently, of course, was did you see Feud with
That was the one of Olivia de Havilland and all that kind of. Catherine Zeta-Jones, was it? No.
Yeah, so in Feud, it's the story of the feud that happened between Bette Davis and Joan Crawford, played brilliantly by Susan Sarandon and Jessica Lange. And Catherine Zeta-Jones played Olivia de Havilland. And of course, Olivia de Havilland was still alive. She only died last year, but she was still alive at the time. She was 102 years of age. Mm. And she sued them. Catherine Zeta-Jones was very good as her. And there was nothing kind of nasty about her. And there was nothing implied about Olivia de Havilland. She just sued them because nobody asked her. Nobody asked her permission. So she just took exception to the idea that anybody would play her without actually asking her permission.
I thought you said that
she
could only do that kind of thing if they were dead.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing about Olivia de Havilland was I'm wondering if they even knew she was alive. Olivia de Havilland is 102 years of age. She lives over in Paris. She's been out of the Hollywood scene for ages. I think they just took a chance and they just said, you know what? We're just going to go for this. She's not going to sue.
Yeah.
And they did take a chance, but they just didn't. And why they didn't ask her, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Sure, you should have asked her permission. She was alive and well. She was 102 years of age. But they must have thought, you know what? She's beyond suing us and she won't mind. But she did. And she sued them. Now, it came to nothing. She didn't win anything because it wasn't a libelous portrayal of her.
Yeah.
They didn't say
one of the problems with all of this kind of thing is if you take something like The Social Network, I know that Mark Zuckerberg gave out hell, but I mean, like, am I not allowed then to think it was a brilliant movie? Because they did. I thought Sorkin's script, everything. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, it is a brilliant movie. It's a great movie. And Zuckerberg hated it. But Zuckerberg rarely talked about it. He didn't want to give it too much airtime, you know. But and he pointed out some inaccuracies in it. But the inaccuracies that he pointed out were very odd. For example, his big problem with the film was that the film implied that he invented Facebook just to get girls. That's what he took umbrage with, you know. He took umbrage with the fact that he came across as a kind of a loser and a loner who, you know, couldn't get a woman to love him unless he invented Facebook. And that was what he gave out about.
Isn't there an element of truth to that?
I'd imagine so.
I think definitely, yeah. You know, and then the Winklevoss twins then? No, wait a minute, we were first. Anyway, okay, that's The Social Network. Give us some more.
Interesting. So some of the big ones, like some of the most famous portrayals of real people on screen, for example, in Raging Bull of Jake LaMotta. Mm. Now, Jake LaMotta does not come across as a nice guy in Raging Bull. So you'd imagine he had a big problem with that. But in fact, he didn't. He was on board from the very start. In fact, he auditioned to play himself for Martin Scorsese, but he was way too old at the time. So he was completely behind the movie. He helped De Niro prepare for the role. He trained with him. You know, he helped him with his diet and he really got him ready and he let him study him and let him watch him. So he was completely on board with Raging Bull until he saw the movie. And apparently he just hated the way he was portrayed on screen, even though he was well aware and he was there throughout the whole shoot of the movie. Apparently at the premiere, he was there with his wife and LaMotta looked at himself on screen and he turned to his wife after and he says, "Was I that bad?" And she said to him, "No, you were worse." So I think he just, when he actually saw all of his foibles and all of his bad traits put up there in front of him, he just thought, Jesus, maybe this wasn't such a good idea.
I read something
you know?
About that movie this week. Is it 40 years old this week? Oh, I don't know. I could be wrong. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
So he just, yeah, like that. When he had it all put up on screen in front of him, he just thought, Jesus, maybe this wasn't such a good idea. Whitey Bulger is another one. In Black Mass, Johnny Depp's portrayal. I kind of liked Johnny Depp's portrayal of him. A lot of people didn't, but Johnny Depp played Whitey Bulger, the mob boss. And Bulger, at the time, of course, was still alive. He'd just been caught and he was in prison. And first off, he said that Johnny Depp was too ugly to play him. And then he thought that he'd been portrayed. Actually, his exact words were, he said that he portrayed me as a monster and he felt that that was very unfair. Now, at the time, he'd been charged with 19 murders, you know. To consider it a little unfair, I think, is a bit much. But anyway, Whitey Bulger disowned that movie, Black Mass. He didn't like that. A lot of other ones about, like, for example, in the Johnny Cash's portrayal and Walk, the portrayal of Johnny Cash and Walk the Line, by Joaquin Phoenix, which was really, he was brilliant in it. But his daughter, Johnny Cash's daughter, Kathy Cash, who was his daughter by his first wife, really did not like the movie because she just thought that her mother was portrayed really badly in it. In the film, this is not the June Carter Cash now, it's his first wife. Right. And his daughter just felt that the wife was portrayed as being really resentful of Johnny's career and really resentful of his fame. And she really, really objected to that. In fact, walked out of a family screening of the movie. So she really objected to that. Like I say, when all these guys objected to portrayals of themselves or their parents or a sibling or whatever in a movie, there's not much they can do about it. I mean, they can argue about it. They can try and sue. But by and large, the movie goes on and the movie makes money and there's really nothing they can do about it, you know?
Yeah.
Another example would be Patch Adams. You remember Patch Adams?
I do. Robin Williams, yeah.
So Robin Williams plays Patch Adams. So Patch Adams is this doctor who used humour and comedy to try and help heal his patients. And, you know, it was a real lighthearted kind of movie. And you'd think that Patch Adams would have been very happy with it. But Patch Adams hated the movie. He hated the fact that Williams concentrated on his humour and not on his achievements. And also, he came out in the papers and argued about the fact that Robin Williams was making millions on his portrayal of Patch Adams. I didn't give 1 cent back to the Patch Adams Foundation, back to the charity that he had set up to help kids. So he came out very strongly against Robin Williams, against his portrayal of him, and against the amount of money he made off the back of his life, you know?
Yeah, of course, he was still alive.
He was still alive. Yeah. There was other Julian Assange in the film The Fifth Estate. He's played by Benedict Cumberbatch, and you can Google this because it's up online there somewhere. Benedict Cumberbatch was asked to play him, and he sent a note to Julian and asked, could he meet him for lunch? Could he have a chat with him? He wanted to talk to him about the role. He wanted to study him a wee bit, and Assange wrote him back this 5-page letter. And it's brilliantly written, I have to say. And the 5-page letter was basically, look, thanks very much for reaching out to me, but don't make this movie. I don't want to meet you. I'm not going to have lunch with you, because if I meet you and have lunch with you, I'm going to validate this film and I'm going to validate your portrayal of me. But here's why I think you shouldn't play me. And he went on for about 5 pages outlining in great detail why Cumberbatch should not take the role. Of course, it had no effect. Cumberbatch took the role, you know.
There's a text here, Brian. It says, blaming Olivia Wilde for hampering the success of Richard Jewell is BS. Shame on you. I don't think we were blaming Olivia Wilde. Quite the opposite, actually. I'd say if we're blaming anybody, it's probably Clint Eastwood.
Well, I mean, it's hard to know. I mean, there was a lot of controversy about it. It was there in the script, you know. So everybody read it and everybody went there and did it. But Olivia Wilde did come out against the movie and did come out against Eastwood and did say that, you know, the script that she read and the finished piece wasn't, you know, that it was basically sprung upon her. So she didn't help the movie. I don't think she hampered the success of it, but I mean, she certainly didn't help it. There's no point coming out and saying, you know, I giving out about the director, giving out about the movie and saying that your portrayal of the person was misrepresented. So she certainly didn't help them. I mean, the movie did all right. I mean, I really enjoyed the movie. Did you like it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I thought it was good.
I thought it was a really good, strong, positive. I mean, the guy, Richard Jewell himself, obviously had passed away.
Well, trying to think of who the mother was. It was Kathy Bates, wasn't it? I remember.
Kathy Bates was brilliant.
She was great.
As the mother.
Yeah. A very sad story of the guy. He died a bunch of years later in real life.
He died a couple of years later. He died. Oh, God, love him. I mean, they really came down on him. The press came down on him.
The court cases and all the rest of it. Okay, let's go on to what's love got to do with it. What was the problem there? Ike didn't like it.
Ike did not like. Ikey, no likey. What's love got to do with it? And could you blame him? So in What's Love Got to Do With It, the story of Tina Turner and her husband Ike, Lawrence Fishburne plays Ike Turner. Now, Ike Turner, by all accounts, was not a very pleasant man.
No.
Ike Turner was, you know, he was a documented wife beater. He was, you know, an alcoholic. He did a lot of drugs. I mean, I remember reading a book about Ike Turner and the guys in the band. All of his backing band hated him because he used to just verbally abuse them after each shows. And in fact, Ike, before he met Tina, used to like to go out. I think Rocket 66 was kind of like the first rock and roll song that Ike wrote, and it was out even before Elvis. But anyway, Ike used to wear a white suit on stage, and the band used to lace his coffee and his booze with laxatives, hoping that he'd have an accident.
Do you know,
on stage.
Sorry, that's really weird to say that, because I know not many people can say this. I mentioned earlier on about Frank Zappa. I saw him in Germany. And I saw Ike and Tina, Ike playing his music in Germany in front of a huge bunch of GIs. There were all these American soldiers, and Rod Stewart was on the bill as well. This is like 100 years ago, and like he was coming out next, and they just Ike went off after 20 minutes. I wonder, was it the coffee? Because like he only, and they were amazed that he actually even came on, because normally he was, you know, scheduled for a gig and he just didn't turn up. But the funny thing was, the whole crowd was going, "We want, you know, Sly Stewart. We want Ike. We want all these people. We don't want Rod Stewart." And it was all like, there was a really bad vibe going on about it. So maybe it was the coffee. Yeah.
Was he wearing a white suit?
Do you know? I don't remember.
Did he rush off stage, clenching his buttocks?
Don't remember that either. I think people were just amazed that he actually did it. Anyway, go on.
Well, by all accounts, you know, he wasn't a pleasant man. And yeah. When the movie came out, of course, Lawrence Fishburne portrays him as essentially a monster. And Ike wasn't happy at all. Now, Tina obviously was very happy with the movie and thought the portrayal of Ike was very realistic. But Ike basically, you know... just slayed the movie any chance he got. Not that anybody was listening. Nobody cared, because everyone believed Tina, and then it was well documented that Ike was a nasty man, so no one cared what Ike said. But predictably, he came out and slagged the movie off. Some other ones really, I think, are interesting. In most recently, and again, these are people, and I'm not quite sure what the laws are in America, but I know they're a lot looser than they are over here. Like, you couldn't turn around tomorrow and make a movie about Leo Varadkar, because you'd be sued. But in America, you can make movies about sitting presidents, and you can make movies about former presidents, and they can't touch you. It's all to do with free speech, obviously, and and the Constitution, and I think fair use is the word they use in America quite a lot. If it's fair use, if it's a story that's all already in the public domain, you can do it. So that's why the likes of Oliver Stone, for example, could make a film about George W. Bush. With Josh Brolin the lead. And Bush himself comes across as an idiot in the film. Yeah. It's a great performance by Josh Brolin. But and like that, when the film came out, Bush never... this is an interesting one, because Bush never publicly talked about the film, although his brother Jeb did. His brother Jeb called it out, saying that it was full of lies and false depictions of his family. But apparently Oliver Stone was out for dinner with Bill Clinton shortly after the film came out, and Clinton told Stone privately that he had given a copy of W to George W, and he had watched it, and he had called him and said that he thought it was a great movie. So, but he never publicly spoke about it. And similarly, the film Vice with Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney, you know, comes across again as
Christian
a monster.
Christian Bale again, yeah.
Christian Bale, brilliant portrayal of Dick Cheney in that film. But Cheney comes across literally as heartless. At one point in the film, they remove his heart, you know. And when Christian Bale won, I think he won the Golden Globe, didn't he first?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it was a true portrayal, frankly.
Yeah, so when Christian Bale wins the Golden Globe, he thanks the devil for him for helping him with his portrayal of Dick Cheney. But Dick Cheney never said a word about it. Dick Cheney never came out and talked about the film.
Might
His daughter
off.
Did.
Listen, you've got 30 seconds left. Do what you like. Go ahead.
Well, here's an interesting one. Did you know that Joseph Fiennes played Michael Jackson?
I did not. No, I did not.
So Sky Arts used to do a series called Urban Myths. And there was a famous urban myth that after 9/11, Michael Jackson, Marlon Brando and Elizabeth Taylor did a car trip across America from New York to Los Angeles. And this was a short film made about that. And Joseph Fiennes, the white Joseph Fiennes, played Michael Jackson in it. And there was such a huge backlash led by Michael Jackson's daughter that Sky Arts pulled the episode and never even showed it.
Wow. And you didn't even get to Green Book, and we don't have time for it. Brian Redden, as in IFTA winner. Thanks a million, Brian, for talking to us.
You're
on the
very welcome.
Today from your car. Good man yourself.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.